Peace, goddesses. Peace, gods. This is your boy. Nah, we ain't this is your boy. This is your host, God with Many Visions. And this is another episode of Convos with Living Legends. And today, we have a lovely, wonderful person. But before I introduce this wonderful woman, let me give a huge shout out to the big bro, Slaughter Joseph, and Blue Royale. He was on a check-in for episode 27, and he spoke all things about the liquor business, being a liquor brand, especially a melanin-owned liquor brand, which is very rare to find nowadays. So huge shout-out to the big bro, and shout-out to everybody that support Blue Royale, you know. And I would love to welcome on episode 28, we have the lovely Alyssa Heath. Queen, please tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so as he told you, my name is Alyssa. I'm from Long Island. I'm a teacher. Yeah. Shout out to Long Island. I went to Spelman for college. After that, I graduated, became a teacher. Now I'm kind of in the space of finance and getting into real estate as well.
Well, you know what? Shout out to you, Queen, because I met you at InvestFest.
Yes.
You know, you had a very sunny disposition.
Thank you.
Very, very sunny disposition. And, you know, to me, you're tremendous. But let me ask you this. What got you into the realm of finance? What drew you to it?
Well, I think that I kind of always knew that we need assets, especially as, like you said, melanated people, we need access to assets. And that's something that wasn't really in my family. Like, we had homes and my grandpa was heavily into real estate, but it's like the baby boomer generation, they didn't really keep the assets in the family. So I always thought that that was kind of an issue because I noticed that that was a theme throughout other families, not just mine.
Okay.
And when I noticed that, I'm just like, wow, I got to really get this together because I don't want to be living check to check. I don't want to have to count on somebody else to feed me or my family. And also, more than that, I want to bring the awareness to the fact that we as Black peoples need to practice group economics as well and rely on each other. So I feel like if I'm going to be spending my time doing anything, it's got to be worth it. And I feel like with real estate and with the stock market, especially with finances, I can make my money work for me so that I can free up my time and also make sure that my family eats too.
I definitely agree, you know, and you can hear the passion in your voice on how passionate you are about it, you know. So where would you say that passion derived from?
That's a good question. I guess it comes from, I don't know. I just feel like I'm the one who is really going to break these shackles in my family to really become truly wealthy and make my last name a thing.
Man, talk that ish, Queen.
Yeah.
Tell them you that generational curse breaker.
I am. I'm the generational curse breaker. Absolutely. And I take that very seriously. So that's kind of what it is, my motivation behind that. And also knowing what my ancestors went through, knowing who's supporting me as I'm walking forward, trying to break new ground. With that, I can't fail. And with that, I feel a level of responsibility. Not everybody feels that, you know? So I like, and I gravitate toward like this platform that you have for us. I gravitate toward people who have that same level of duty almost to their ancestors, because it's a duty. That is our obligation to do that. They went far for us. So it's our, I feel like with what they did, they gave us the baton. And what we're supposed to do is bring that baton further. That's my job. And I take that job very seriously.
Man, you better go ahead with your bad self. Like, everything you done said is real, true, and raw, and I love it. Because that's what it really is, and that's mm-hmm. that's what it's all about. So, knowing that you're this passionate about it, like in regards to the melanin folks, mm-hmm. we already know what the problem is. You know, I hate talking about the problem.
Absolutely.
What solutions can we practice?
Well, I think. I have to say, I can sit here and say we can invest and economically liberate ourselves, but I think it's more than that. And I think that starts in the Black household. I think that starts with our children. I'm still trying to figure out how do you save adults. I still haven't got the answer to that yet because we haven't seemed to like organize for whatever reason. But I feel like maybe the easiest way and most effective way for us to make sure that our future looks different is that our households are more... organized like how they used to be, where we have the father, where we have the mother, where we have the mother who takes care of the children and reads and teaches the mother, the kids. We have the father who provides and protects his family. And I think kind of kind of reigniting the Black family and the strength that we used to have. Because that's our culture. Our culture is to take care of one of each other. Our culture is to build each other up. That's our culture. That's what we've been doing. So this new age broken family thing, that's not us. And I feel like we identify with it to where it's now a self-perpetuating issue in the black community. So I feel like the solution is to work on the kids so that the kids can grow up to be better parents, make better decisions. And collectively, I think Black people will be in a better place if we do it like that.
Okay, I totally agree. So knowing all this, and you're achieving the high standards, you know, you're trying to achieve, yeah, you know, you're not trying, you're doing. You're achieving these high standards. How do you feel that? Because you have your own platform where you speak on financial literacy, and mm-hmm. I tune in to your lives often, because at least once a week I try to tune into your lives. How rewarding is it for you to share the knowledge that you have?
You know, it's very rewarding, but honestly, I would be telling a lie if I didn't say it's also nerve-wracking in some ways, because personally, I'm not used to kind of putting myself on center stage. Like, I like to just, I'm more of a homebody, play the background, but I have a light and I have something that I want the people to see. So sometimes, like, your gift precedes your feeling. So I feel like I had to get on the platform. I had to talk about this because I am passionate about it. I can't keep quiet about this stuff. I really be feeling some type of way. I really have strong opinions about certain things. So a lot of times it's a little bit, I get a little nervous, like, you know, going live and doing all that. But I think it's the newness of it. But other than that, like, after I can take a deep breath and be like, okay, let's relax, this is a new territory, then I'm like, okay, this is very rewarding because people are going to watch me. People are going to get value. I'm going to get value from other people. I'm going to inspire young kids, you know. And I think that's just the whole purpose of why I'm on social media. I don't want to be on social media to show you guys what I'm eating or to take bikini pictures. There's more to me than that. There's more important things than that.
Man, I love that. So when you hear the phrase, each one teach one, what mm-hmm. does that mean to you?
Hmm. I think that means literally each one teach one. So for example, me and you, there's things that watching your page and looking at your posts, I've learned. And like you said, you tuned into my lives and had some takeaways, I'm sure, about real estate or the stock market, whatever I was talking about that day. So I feel like it's a mutually beneficial relationship when each one can teach one. And I think that's the kind of purpose of that slogan. And I think that's, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's the essence of what we're doing.
Well, you know us New Yorkers, you know, we always got these phrases. We always come out with these wonderful phrases.
Right.
So how would you say, how like at your, you know, at the tender age that you are, you know, the young lady that you are, uh-huh. how proud are you of yourself, of your journey, and how far you've come thus far?
I think that I'm very proud of myself. And as of late, I've been making more of a conscious effort to look at where I was and how far I've come and how I've actually actioned my plans when I look back. I don't really look back and marvel in that, because I'm not trying to compare myself to my old self, because I'm only looking up. So a lot of times I don't even acknowledge like the little strides that I made. But in doing that, it's the lack of respect to what I did do. So nowadays I'm taking that in and I'm appreciating that more. And I'm just celebrating myself more with those little quiet times I get with myself, appreciating myself more. So yeah, it's building me up, because I'm allowing myself to express myself in a way that's organic.
Well, you better continue celebrating yourself. You all you got at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, if you don't love you, who else will?
Exactly. Self-love is everything. And I'm very big on having that before you, you know, go out and ask that of someone else.
Facts. Because you have to have enough love for yourself to love others.
Absolutely.
And if you're not able to, then where could you go? So since you, I wouldn't say financial expert, you're getting to the point of becoming a financial expert. Because you're still mm-hmm. working, you're still working the kinks out. So
yes.
What advice would you give our melanin folks at this moment in time? Pretend this is your life.
Okay.
What would you What would you want to break down to the people that they should know at this present moment in time in regards to finances, real estate, stock markets, you name it?
So I think for any melanated person watching my live right now, that I want you to know that there is an entry point for you. I don't care if your credit is messed up. I don't care if your house is foreclosed on. I don't care if you don't know about stocks. There's an entry point for you. So my first suggestion would to be, okay, what is it that you wanted to work on? Do you want to start a Toro business? That's a rental car. That's a pretty hot thing. Do you want to do wholesaling? Okay, you can't afford that. What about mobile homes? Okay, you can't do that. What about an Amazon van? Okay, you can't do that. How about you fix your credit? So I think that we have to reverse engineer and stop trying to look at such lofty task of having to own a house or have a million stocks. So I think that's very intimidating. But I think if they understand that you absolutely have an entry point and yours is just a small step, because remember, big moves are all comprised of tiny, tiny steps. Do not get it twisted. Every step that's made to make something big is tiny. So I would urge everyone who is watching me to get that first start. Okay. So if you want to start a Toro business, watch a YouTube video on it. Get educated for about a week, but have a goal. Because remember, goals have time limits. Otherwise, you're thinking wishfully. Okay. I would say continue to take action every day on what that is in small, small steps. Get people around you who are smarter than you. If you don't know anybody like that, that's a problem. Open your circle up. I try to surround myself with people who are smarter than me as much as I can. I want to be the dumbest person in the room at all times. So,
sage advice, young lady. Sage advice.
Yeah. Thank you. So that's really what I think I would impress upon anyone who is watching me, that you can enter and you can start today. I don't care if you have to hit up a credit financial person or just talk, maybe even make an appointment at your local neighborhood bank just to find out about credit. Show you care. Show the universe you care a little bit so it could start to line something up for you, you know? Because I feel like a lot of people, they just watch and they just want to be entertained and really, you know, just like shout out to EYL, Wall Street Trapper, everybody who's putting us on in a financial space, but they've been around, you know, for a little bit, 1 to 2 years, and I'm still seeing certain people not taking action. And it's just like, what are we doing? This is not a replacement of Love and Hip Hop. This is something we're supposed to be actioning. This is not entertainment. Yes, we're entertained. It's cool. But we need to be actioning that. So do not lose the reason why you're on Instagram. Stop being such people. I would tell my followers that they have to stop thinking in such a consumer mindset. Think from the disposition of a producer. Get on the other side of it. Start to open your mind up. Think differently. See differently. Yeah.
Young lady, like the words that's coming out your mouth is not perplexing. It's beautiful, because I love your generation and I love the fact how y'all have the wherewithal to understand that the time is now. And it's a beautiful thing to see you guys doing what y'all do. So I stand there like a proud OG just watching y'all from before. Not original gangster, original gentleman.
I know what you meant. Yeah.
Or original guy. But, you know, I just stand there from afar, just watch y'all and see how y'all do. And my thing is, as the generation above you guys, my thing is I'm going to continue to speak life into y'all. Anything, any questions y'all have, I'm an open book. I'm an open door. My door is open to you guys, because my thing is, like the term each one teach one, I truly believe in that. And I feel that as the generation ahead of you guys, it's up to us guys to help y'all break that generational curse. If we can't break it, we have to help y'all. We have to at least create a blueprint for you guys to follow and do better than us.
I appreciate that.
It doesn't make sense to me to have the generations behind us do worse than us. Now, I'm not a hater. I congratulate. You know, I congratulate. So I'm going to always give you y'all flowers because y'all deserve it. A lot of you guys are living legends in the making. Some of y'all already living legends. So when I see y'all, I am so proud. I'm uber proud of you guys. So, you know, but let me ask you this, though.
Yes.
What would the 10-year-old, you know, what would the 10-year-old you tell you? And what would you tell the 10-year-old you at this present moment? The present you tell the 10-year-old you.
Oh my God, I've definitely had this conversation with myself before.
You see,
if I could, yeah,
that's alignment, baby. That's alignment.
Yes, it is. if I could speak to my 10-year-old self, I would say relax. Don't take life so seriously. And I would also tell myself in that same vein, get serious about something. So it would be a little bit hypocritical, but I think I would get it because I would know what I meant.
Of course. So, okay. The present you, what would the present you tell the 50-year-old you, and what would the 50-year-old you tell the present you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're asking deep questions over here.
This is a good one. Okay, I never thought about this. The present me tell my 50-year-old self, oh, my God. Oh, I would tell her, stay youthful, keep your pizzazz. I would tell her, apply pressure at all times. And just be happy. Just be happy.
So what would the 50-year-old you tell you, the current you?
I think she would tell me to move forward with no limitations, just to continue in my path. Because I feel like with how I'm moving right now, like I say, I'm just taking orders from my highest self, from my ancestors. What I feel like is in alignment with me, I'm simply taking orders. So I feel like myself and my older self are kind of connected at this moment. So I feel like my older self to me right now would say, keep busting, Alyssa, keep pushing, keep going. That's exactly what she would say.
Man, that's that New York in us.
Yeah.
Man, New Yorkers don't, man, we don't play them games.
No, we don't.
Hustle and bustle all day.
Okay.
Hustle and bustle all day. We don't know when to stop.
Right.
We don't know when to stop.
I got to set a timer to remind me to stop. So, yeah, it's real.
So, with all of this going on, like, how do you see the future for melanin folks in the spaces of finances?
Well, I think from where we are now, I know that Black women, we're the most educated. We're opening up many new businesses. I see that the entrepreneurial spirit has been revived in the Black person. Which I don't think it was never really repressed. It's just now we're just able to really come together more than I think we have been in the recent past. So I feel like with that, that's going to be good because we'll have less Black people probably impoverished. But I do worry about us owning resources. So, for example, I would like to see us have ownership and control over the schools in our neighborhood, the banks in our neighborhood, and the hospitals in our neighborhood, because he who controls the resources controls the land. So if we don't control those major factors that make a community run, we still won't really have much power. So as much as I'd like to see us driving around and nice fancy cars and happy and all that, if we're still sending our kids to, you know, these white schools being miseducated about themselves, and if we're still at the mercy of someone else's orders, then how free are we? So that I do worry about that, but I hope that we're getting more of a clue.
Now I feel like we definitely getting it, especially mm-hmm. like you said, the melanin women. Because to me, the melanin woman is the greatest being on this planet.
Right? Yes.
Greatest being on this planet. None greater than her. She is life. Mm-hmm. She's the foundation of life. And to see so many queenpreneurs coming out is so many. Oh, it's a great time.
It is.
A great time to see you queenpreneurs. And my thing is, I would try to support any way I can. But most of the times, y'all sell items I cannot use. That you know what I mean?
So, right.
You know, I got to figure a way out how to support nonetheless, mm-hmm. you know, or either way, I could use word of mouth.
Yeah. See, it doesn't always have to be a financial support. You could, you know, word of mouth, repost. Support is not linear.
Well, you see, I try to support those who don't support me and those who support me. So, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I know how support is. Support is not an easy day to come by, but you know, I appreciate it nonetheless.
Yes.
I truly appreciate it nonetheless. So knowing that you was once a teacher, do you mm-hmm. still teach at this current moment?
Well, right now I'm on unpaid leave. So hopefully that resolves itself.
And what age of beautiful students do you teach?
I teach kindergarten. So they're about like 5, 6.
Oh, 5 and 6. How is that?
Yeah, when I first started, it was a lot, but now it's pretty easy. I like kids, you know, that has to be the foundation of like being a teacher. I like kids, and I like teaching them. I like molding their minds. And more than anything, more than teaching them, I just kind of like to be able to express, allow them to express themselves in their entirety. I don't look at kids as these, you know, just these little people with no brains. They're actually really, really intelligent. And yes, they really are. And they I allow them to have that autonomy over themselves and what they think, because there's something going on in those little brains. So it really has made me have a new respect for the intelligence of a kid. So that's one of the most beautiful things about teaching. But yeah, overall, it's something I definitely enjoy, but something I don't want to do for the rest forever of my life. Yeah, no, not at all.
I completely understand that. So yeah. With everything going on, how do you see your future? How do you see what you got going on, like with the things you're working on? Like, how do you see yourself down the road, 10, 20 years down the road?
Wow, 10, 20 years down the road, I see myself in my home with my family. I see myself having a husband. I see myself spending a lot of time in my garden, planting. I see myself dancing a lot around my house. I see myself spending time with people that are valuable to me and that I'm valuable to, going on trips, passion projects, making certain communities better, and family. That's about it. Something simple, but very meaningful.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I must say, you a ray of sunshine.
Thank you.
You have a very beautiful disposition, sunny disposition, like I said before. And, you know, all I can say is that you are great. You are born great. You are great, and you will continue to be great. And all I could do is just manifest infinite life, infinite wealth, infinite prosperity, infinite wisdom, infinite knowledge in your life as you continue your journey.
I receive that.
You know, towards greatness. You know, as you continue your journey towards greatness. So with everything that we're speaking on, right, and knowing the finances, what are the new things that you have picked up on in regards to stocks, real estate, that people may not know that you would like to share?
So actually, I just learned something pretty cool that I'm actually going to have to look deeper into. I saw this YouTube video, and it was talking about how this person got a house for free. So right away, I'm like, for free? I'm thinking it's clickbait, you know, it's some BS. But I get on there and I see actually how they did it. So really quickly, I'll give you an example. So for example, they call up a seller and say, hey, how much would you like to sell your house for? Say the person wants to sell it for $150,000. Now, you don't have the cash, you don't have anything, you don't even have the credit. But what you do have is leverage. You can ask the seller and say, okay, so if you want $150,000 for this, how about if you move out and you sell the house to me, what I can do is I can give you the $150,000 over the course of 30 years, almost like a mortgage. So I guess that'd be $975 over the course of 30 years. And that's how some people are acquiring homes, and sellers are agreeing to this because they're tired landlords. They don't want anything to do with their house. So these are people who are kind of fed up, don't really want their homes. And some people are really agreeing to that deal, because another thing which is useful when you're going to these prospects is to remember that a lot of people think that the real estate market will crash at some point. Now, right now, it's a seller's market. Okay. The prices are being bidded up literally because during coronavirus 2020, materials and industrials halted production. So Home Depot had shortage of wood. Anybody who was trying to build things, you know how much wood was, you know how much materials are. They halted production. So all the houses that were supposed to be made in the year of 2020 didn't get made, therefore making the ones that are already on the market more valuable. So right now there's not really, it's truly a seller's market. So I feel like that's the free house thing, and the whole paying them over the course of some time, you can pitch to the seller as well, telling them that they'll be able to lock in profits right now while houses are bidded up, since they perceive a crash to be coming. And on top of that, you want to keep this cash flowing for a while. If you're going to own it for 30 years, you get somebody in there, you know, rent it out, charge twice as much, and, you know, make sure everything, all the numbers are squared away and stuff like that. So that's something that I'm looking into right now, which I found super interesting.
That's beautiful. So out of all the realms of financing, whether it's stocks, real estate, bonds, insurance, which one would you say is your favorite and which one is your least favorite?
Okay, I would say that stocks are my favorite, and I say my least favorite. I don't really have a least favorite because I'm not going to sit here and gas up my skill set. I've been mostly focused on stocks. Okay, stocks, buying stocks and buying options contract. Now, what I will say is that what I do like are ETFs. So, for example, instead of buying shares of Apple, I can buy the ETF QQQ because Apple is its number one holding in it. It has 10% of Apple in its portfolio. But what you get with ETF is you get the comfort of maybe 20 other companies that are in it. So that way, if Apple plummets that day, you'll probably still be good in your ETF because that absorbs that kind of that big sharp turn it took. So I like ETFs for safety. I like the QQQ. I like SPY. I think that they move more predictably than companies. So that's been where my focus is. I like ETFs, and I also like trading options, not day trading, swing trading. So I hold it for a few months.
And knowing that, like you said earlier, you was trying to break these generational curses, and you was led by the fact that your family wasn't keen on, you know, showing other family members, you know, how to be financially stable and things of that nature, mm-hmm. right? You know, and knowing that you brought yourself to learn on your own, you know, yeah. how much more growth and how much more things that you feel like you can learn? Because I know every day you learn something new. You know, how much do you feel that you can learn? Or do you feel like you plateaued?
You know what? I don't necessarily feel like I plateau because I'm always intaking information. I will say that sometimes it's difficult for me to package it and make it accumulate up to something. So, for example, my attention might be a little bit divided. So I might be focused on ETFs and the stock market and day trading and swing trading. So now now what's messing me up is that my vision is too spread. So I would just need to hone in on something. So I think that kind of is what could trip me up, but what I don't allow to.
Okay. But you see, that is dope because at least you see how you can strengthen yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Strengthen your weak points. And that's always a beautiful thing. That's mm-hmm. a beautiful thing. So with everything that we got going on in this world, especially how us as melanin people, we the number one consumers in this world. How can we change the trajectory of how we support others instead of ourselves?
How can we change it? I think perhaps we're going to have to, our values and our priorities are going to have to shift. And before that, we're going to have to know it's a problem. It's some people walking around like they don't know, they don't know it's a problem. Okay. So that's the number one issue. And it's a lot of people like that. Then I would say if once we get them aware and say, hey, it's a problem that you're spending all your money with white people, that's why your communities are impoverished and you're mad that the Jews are kicking you out of your city that you've been in for 20 years and been raised, but nobody has tried to buy up nothing. So I feel like they have to see that the lack of organization is an issue. I don't know how we're going to start to see that. I think nowadays, like, I don't know what's going on, but I mean, the rappers are going to have to make it cool or something. Like, I saw on Instagram, one of the rapper's girlfriends bought him land. You know, I think that's good because it might show that, you know, this is where it should be at. I think it's being cool now. I'm starting to see other celebrities and stuff gravitate toward EYL, gravitate toward Wall Street Trapper, gravitate toward a hot movement because they know this is where it's at. What's crazy is that this shouldn't be a trend, right? It shouldn't be a hot movement. This should just be normalcy. But for whatever reason, right now, it's a hot movement. So I hope that once the trend wears down of being financially literate and all that, I just hope that we understand the true nature of what we really need to be doing, which is spending with each other, building up our communities, stop shooting each other, and stop looking for Joe Biden to save us. Okay. Man. We really gotta stop.
Joe Biden can't save himself. He can save you.
Listen, I'm an independent. I am not into politics. I don't believe that the Democrats or Republicans have what it takes to lead us properly. That's all I'll say about that. But I just really want people and my people to see, and I hope that they're waking up so that way we can put something together. Because you tell me. I mean, there's some Black people who've been getting money for a minute, and what's going on? I mean, I don't know. Okay, another thing. I know I'm going all over the place. Right now I'm thinking about Dave Chappelle. Okay,
go ahead. Speak. This is your time to speak, young lady.
Okay, right now I'm thinking about Dave Chappelle, and I appreciate and I have the utmost respect for Dave Chappelle, because had Dave Chappelle not carried himself with integrity and masculine energy since day one, he wouldn't have been able to allow Netflix to keep him on the special. And I say that because from day one, he was not allowing the coonery. He was not allowing himself to be put in dresses and being portrayed like a fool. He was not going to do that because that didn't feel right to him. Why does every Black man have to be in a dress in order for me to be funny? I just naturally have talent. So I say that to say, I would like to see, and Kyrie Irving, I appreciate him.
Oh, love Kyrie Irving, man. Shout out to that brother.
Shout out to Kyrie Irving. Shout out to Dave Chappelle. I appreciate them because I just feel like we need more people like that to speak on certain things so people can start to wake up, because they're the only, like, that's who, like, who do Black people listen to? Who do we listen to? I mean, we definitely listen to Joe Biden, okay? Most of us speaking collectively. I don't, but most of us do. Okay, we listen to the rappers, we listen to the music. That's what a lot of us are being groomed by. And if all of them are yielding to the Gucci and Get Your Shot, you know, all this craziness, the baby mamas, the not making homes and all that, then that's what's going to be perpetuated. I think that it has to be made cool in order for us to appreciate it, as sad as that to say, because the intellectual route, it doesn't work. The seeing us shot up and being attacked and strategically eliminated, that doesn't work for whatever reason. I think a lot of us have been desensitized toward that. We're so used to seeing Black bodies dropping, Black bodies taken away, Black bodies killed, that now doesn't even affect us when we see it. I don't watch none of that. The last time I seen a Black body drop was Tamir Rice. After that, I don't watch that because it affects me deeply. That's not normal.
Nah, it's not going at all.
That's where this level of, like, I'm so confused with the state of us, and I just really hope that these rappers and these people higher up can make it cool, because that seems to be the only thing that makes shit cool.
And that's crazy. To me, that's mind-boggling.
It's nuts, yes.
It's mind-boggling where we have to look at celebrities as our leaders when they have a hard time leading themselves.
Listen,
you know, that I'm not downing these brothers and sisters, you know, but there's some celebrities that I don't mind following. When you look at a Nas, quietly, he's been making these wonderful financial moves, and that is beautiful because he's showing financial literacy at his finest. When you look at Kevin Durant,
yes,
Kevin Durant is doing a lot of moves on the low.
Okay, I wasn't aware.
Oh, man. Kevin, yo, yeah.
That's what's up, though.
Go check that brother's portfolio.
Okay.
Check that brother's portfolio.
I might have to look.
That's a brother you should pay attention to. Because he made some very beautiful moves. You know, investments in what's that called? Lyft?
Yep.
That's netted him millions of dollars. So, even LeBron's made some wonderful financial moves.
I think I heard about that.
You know, so to see these celebrities doing these things is a beautiful thing. But there's others, you know, they splurge. And that's what our people gravitate to. And we got to help our people get out the matrix, you know. Shout out to Black Matrix. Quick side plug real quick.
It went perfectly.
We got to remove the mental shackles that's holding us back from our greatness. And if folks like me and you can continue what we're doing, I feel like we could change the trajectory of where our people are heading. Because I already know what the problem is. I need to know what solution.
The solution, right.
What solution I can create to make all things right, you know? So that's where I'm going with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with everything being said, what is one final thing you would like to tell the people? Or is there anything more you would like to share with the people?
I would like to say, with whatever you're trying to do, whether that is to get your finances together, get your spirituality together, get your body right. The first thing I would say, don't be so hard on yourself. And secondly, meet yourself where you are. Don't make these lofty ass plans if you know that you're not mentally fit to try to take on the world. Just do it piece by piece, even if it seems so insignificant, but do it, because that'll help you instill trust in yourself that you're actually following through on something. So take it easy on yourself and make it really small. Make it as small as you can, as tiny as you can. So if you're goal is to go to the gym. Let's say you never go to the gym. How about tomorrow? At least get your gym bag packed. How about that? How about throw your gym stuff on and don't even have no intentions of going? Let's treat it like a child, because essentially that's what it is. A part of you hasn't developed to that point where you can take on that discipline, and that's okay. Meet yourself where you are. Just because you're in this big body doesn't mean that you have to operate like you're some Goliath. It's okay. You're gonna get to that point, but just give yourself the grace to get there.
What? How about you? How about you? Even what's that called? Why not make the gym your home, your gym?
That too.
That's another way.
That too.
There's no excuses.
It's really not.
There's no excuses. If anything, we are holding ourselves back from our greatness.
And I agree with that. And I agree with that tenfold. And I will also say that no one is responsible for where you're at. So that pity story, everybody has a story. Something bad happened to everybody. And I just want people wherever they are to take full 1,000% ownership. Because if you don't have full ownership of your house, can you move it? You sure can't. So you need to take 100% ownership for where you are so that you can make moves. Because if you're waiting on somebody to tell you go, if you're waiting on somebody to give you closure, if you're waiting on something to fall through first, put that to rest. Take control of yourself. You are 100% responsible from where you are, and do that for you. So that way you have the decision-making ability to move it forward, and you don't have to yield to anybody else.
Man, darling, man, I must say, I love your passion. Your passion is beautiful, because you're just as passionate as I am. And us passionate people, they tend to say, oh, we're loud, we're this, we're that, but they don't realize we're genuine. Our passion exactly. is genuine. And we really want to see our people do great, you know?
Yeah.
We really want to see our people elevate. So by all means necessary, we will do whatever it takes to uplift us as a community. And Queen, you don't know how much appreciative I am that you can bless us with your radiance on this platform. It was such a treat. It was a beautiful thing, you know?
Thank you.
I know you have more to say. You know, if you have more to say, please, don't let me hold you back.
No, I said a lot. I feel like I said the bulk of, you know, how I truly feel about the situation.
Well, you see, then if that's the case, I can't wait to have you back on.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to have you back on. So, you know, we can speak further. And then by then, you have more knowledge.
I absolutely will. And so will you. And I want to say, I appreciate you for even creating this platform to celebrate. To just celebrate your people and to have this kind of exchange, because this level of community and this level of exchange is, I think, it would also set a strong foundation for us to be able to excel and go further. If we didn't have these platforms, if we didn't have people like you putting this type of stuff together and pushing your agenda of Black love, of Black togetherness, of us really coming together and being mighty as we should as a Black family. If we didn't have people like you, we'd be we'd be way worse. So I just want to give you your flowers for giving us the ability to be able to be in this meeting space. You are one of those trailblazers who make it possible for other people to do stuff. Because if you didn't have this, I wouldn't have been able to talk right now. So
true.
Take those, exactly. Take those flowers, and we are very appreciative of you as well.
Nah, well, you know, thank you for the flowers, darling. I throw the flowers. I give you your flowers as well, you know, just to let you know how much I appreciate you. And hopefully, you know, we can grow as a people. We can grow together to reach our greatest potential, because each and every day we should be striving to be our greatest selves.
Absolutely.
Our greatest selves, you know, each and every day. And I will not stop growing. So if you have a problem with my growth, I am sorry for you. I will not stop growing. You know, you can kiss my ass. if you want me to stop growing, I will not stop.
Absolutely.
I will not stop.
If something's not growing, it's dead. The last time I checked, if the flower is not growing, it's definitely dead.
Exactly. So ain't nobody trying to die. I got a lot of life to live.
You know okay.
I mean? You know what I mean? I'm 41 years young, not old.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Words are spells, so we gotta watch what we say about ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. Definitely got to watch what you say. And you know what? You don't know how much I appreciate you for coming in on the check-in. Huge shout out to the queen herself, the Queen Panor, Alyssa Heath. Yes. Did I say it correctly?
Yes, you did.
Oh, you know, listen, man. You know I'm Haitian. I tend to mess up people's name. And I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? I don't want them problems. I don't need them problems. But we appreciate you coming on the check-in. Can't wait to have you back on. And hopefully next time, you come on, it would be, you know, it would be a visual episode.
Oh, yes, we could definitely do that.
I'm currently working on trying to get it visual. So to the people out there, please give me some time. Your boy's working over here. You know, I got so much on my plate, but I'm working. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one last time, shout out to the queen herself, the Queen Panor.
Thank you.
Heath, thank you so much, queen. We give you your flowers. We honor you. We respect you and we love you. You know, shout out to the goddesses. Shout out to the gods. It's the God with many visions. And we out. Peace.
Peace.